In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So greetings in the Lord, brothers and sisters, on this fifth Sunday of Pentecost. And today the Holy Church honors the miracle that took place at the honorable relics of St. Euphemia during the fourth ecumenical council, which took place in Chalcedon in the year 451. And St. Euphemia, however, was actually suffered martyrdom during the reign of the Roman Emperor Diocletian. His reign was from 284 to 305 AD. So this was about 150 years that St. Euphemia was martyred until the time of this council. And after her martyrdom, her relics were incorrupt, and they placed her in this coffin and in a special place of honor, and a church was built at the place where she was martyred. And so 150 years later, the Fourth Ecumenical Council was called together in order to resolve a particular heresy, which was known as the Monophysite heresy. There was a monk, an archimandrite of Constantinople, whose name is Eutyches, and he taught this false teaching that Christ, the Lord, did not have two natures, that he did not have a divine nature and a human nature, but just had one divine nature, basically. Well, after much discussion and debate and testimonies from both sides of this issue, the patriarch, Saint Anatolius, had both of the Orthodox and the Monophysites write down their confessions of faith. And they decided, and they all agreed, that they would place these two scrolls, these two confessions of faith, in the coffin of St. Euphemia. And her arms were folded, and so they put it right on her breast, on her arms, like that. And so they closed the lid of the coffin with these two scrolls. They sealed it with a, royal emperor's seal, and they placed a military guard of soldiers all around it to make sure nobody tampered with anything. And so all those holy fathers spent 3 days in prayer and fasting, that God would reveal to them which was the true teaching, whether it was the Monophysite teaching was correct or whether the Orthodox teaching was correct. So after 3 days, the patriarch and the emperor were there, and in the presence of the ecumenical council, they opened the tomb, and they opened the lid of the coffin, and they found that the scroll with the Orthodox confession was held by St. Euphemia in her right hand, while the scroll of the heretics lay at her feet. And then St. Euphemia, as though alive, raised her hand and gave the scroll to the patriarch. So even those who were there, many heretics accepted the Orthodox confession as a result of this miracle. I'm sure you would, too, if you'd been there. So that's definitely a sign from God. But those who remained obstinate in their heresy were consigned to the council's condemnation and excommunication because it was not the correct teaching. And so here we have an example of something from the other world, which today's gospel makes a reference to. And just an aside, why is it so important for us to understand that Christ had both a human and divine nature? Well, this is a big issue, a big subject. We could talk a long time about this, but just briefly, St. Cyril of Jerusalem said that if Christ becoming man was a phantom, then salvation is a dream. In other words, if he wasn't really truly a man in the full sense by having a human nature and everything, then that really impairs the work of salvation because he wasn't one of us. And as explains in the book Orthodox Dogmatic Theology, the Holy Fathers have said that it is the free human spirit that comprises the basic essence of man. And it is this which was subjected to the fall, and then being defeated, was in need of salvation. Therefore, the Savior, in order to restore fallen man, himself possessed this essential part of human nature. So in other words, in the Nicene Creed, we affirm that Christ is God. He's only begotten before all ages and all that. That's his divine nature. But then we say, but he was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. So we affirm his human nature and his divine nature right there every time we say the Nicene Creed. So today's gospel about Christ casting out these demons gives us a glimpse into this invisible world beyond the limits of our material world. And speaking of the Nicene Creed, in the first article of the Creed, we affirm, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. Okay, now, it's it's very easy to believe in the visible things that we see in this created world, but it is a little more difficult for us to believe in the invisible things that we cannot see in the other world. You know, this is the kingdom of God, where the kingdom of heaven, where dwell all the angels and the saints, and of course the demons are also in the other world, not in heaven, but in the other world. And this is not something most of us have had the privilege of seeing with our bodily eyes. Most of us have not seen angels or seen saints or visited the kingdom of heaven and had the tour, you know, and that. So, but there's a great quote about this that comes to mind, that one of the greatest tricks the devil ever pulled was convincing people that he doesn't exist. I think it was C.S. Lewis mentions that in one of his books, and several other, it's mentioned in other places too. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing people that he does not exist. So it's a very commonly held idea today. Many people believe this, you know, that the devil is really not real. He's not. He's just kind of an imaginary figure. And, you know, it's kind of helpful for moral instruction. You know, we can sort of contrast, you know, good and evil and the devil and all that. But he's not a real person. It's kind of like the way we would tell a fairy tale, you know, and to illustrate a lesson or a point. But when someone doesn't really understand that the devil is real, then of course Satan can act freely with little opposition. A sinful or tempting thought might seem to spring into our minds out of nowhere, and we could easily mistake it for one of our own thoughts. And yet many of the Holy Fathers warn us about this and recommend that we drive away such evil thoughts by prayer and calling upon the name of Jesus Christ. In his Orthodox Catechism book, The Faith of the Saints, St. Nikolai Vlimirvich asks, "Whose name do the devils dread most of all?" And the answer is the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When one calls upon his name, the devils run away because they're terrified of our Lord Jesus Christ because he defeated them. You know, in a battle, it's very important to know as much about the enemy as possible. You know, you want to know what is the location of the enemy, what kind of weapons do they have, how many troops do they have. You know, then a battle plan can be created to defeat the enemy. Well, our whole life, really, our whole Christian and spiritual life is a battle against evil in a very real way. As St. Paul says in Ephesians 6, verses 11 through 18, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." So when St. Paul talks about this warfare and being armed with these weapons and shields and so on, it's not metaphorical. You know, it's not just a poetic idea that we should just be good, you know, or something. He's actually literally talking about how we are under attack. You know, the evil one wants to tempt us and wants to make us fall into sin and ruin us. And so that's an attack, just as if we were walking down the street and somebody started, you know, punching us or something, or attacking us with some weapon. And so we need to learn how to defend ourselves and how to fight, you know, fight these enemies. And that's where St. Paul talks about what that really means, because spiritually we need faith, we need righteousness, and all those things, you know, virtue. That's how we fight. So when Christ casts out these demons in this gospel today and permits them to go into the herd of swine, he demonstrates his power over the evil one. Although God does permit evil to continue in the world at this time for his reasons, you know, which is really to strengthen and test us, he is also powerful to protect us from evil. But we must learn to recognize our weakness and ask his help. So whenever you find yourselves in some situation where you might be struggling against bad thoughts or feelings or some temptation, try to remember to call upon the Lord, and he will quickly come to your aid. And this is the beginning of our spiritual warfare against evil. May the blessings of the Lord be with you always. Glory be to our God.